Individual names have been changed or removed from this program to protect the identity of callers.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome into Hope in the Night. It's late night talk radio offering God's truth for today's problems. Our host is best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt, author of Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries, The Answer to Anger, and the best-selling How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. I'm Jim Kress here with June. Now, no early on tonight. Best chance you had to talk with June is to get in early on those phone lines at 800-917. They're open now. What we do is we get your name and number. We call you back. We change your name to put you on the air. We invite you in now. 1-800-NIGHT-17 and another night of Christmas trivia
yes,
to start it off.
Yes, always at this time of year.
That's right.
So, what is the most popular tree topper at the top of the tippy-tippy top of the tree?
It's going to be an angel or a star. I'm going to say angel.
And you're right. I remember when I was a kid, Sweet Angie, the Christmas tree angel, on the top of the tippy-tippy-top of the tree. You got it. Exactly.
All right.
In the Nutcracker.
Yes.
Who breaks Clara's Nutcracker? Was it the mouse or her brother?
I think it was her brother.
I think you're right. Her brother, Fritz.
Fritz did
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. He was the culprit. In Miracle on 34th Street, What primate did Chris teach Susan to imitate?
A monkey.
A monkey is right. Mm-hmm. And what song contains the line, although it's been said many times, many ways,
have yourself a merry little Christmas.
That is correct.
Judy Garland debuted that in Meet Me in St. Louis.
And what is the name of the song, though?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Is that the right one?
It doesn't. Yeah, you know, you're right. It just doesn't. It doesn't have any of those words.
The name of the song. Wow.
The Christmas song.
The Christmas song?
That's it. It's
I was going to say that.
I mean, maybe other people call it other things, too. All right. Does Santa have freckles?
Well, depends which version. I say no. He's got his cheeks are rosy.
Yeah, right. There's no hint about that. There could be some who want to pretend to be
That's
Santa,
right.
though. And we have to watch out for those pretenders, those great pretenders. There's a company known for its ads, a beverage company featuring a big smiling Santa, which would be
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola is right. And who composed the music to Toyland, Toyland?
Tchaikovsky.
You know, I thought so too, but it's
Leonard
not.
Bernstein actually did it, and most people don't know that.
And Bernstein wouldn't know it either.
How about George Jones, the old country singer, the possum?
Well,
I have no idea. Let's see, Toyland, Toyland.
Let's see. There were Victor Records.
Victor Hugo. Victor Frankl.
There is an H in it. Victor
Herbert.
Herbert yes. is right. Okay. Well, you know, the Ingalls. You know,
yes.
Okay.
Little House on the
Little
Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie, yes. Did the Ingalls family spend Christmas with the Bosts on the shores of the Silver Lake or the Gold Lake?
Oh, it was the Silver Lake.
It
I
was
love
the Silver
that.
Lake.
Yes.
Yes, and you know all about those lakes. There's the head, if you'll say it that way,
yes.
the head G-Man you know, I remember one time I kept hearing that G-Men. I thought, what is it? What's, all it means is government man.
Government, right,
okay.
Right.
Was born New Year's Day, 1895, a very well-known name.
J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover is absolutely correct.
Oh, that's true.
And let me see, in the novel, I'm going to do that one. All right, what did the traffic cop holler to Frosty?
Stop!
Yes! I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going here. You're doing great. Oh. All right. What famous hotel magnate was born December 25th, Christmas Day, 1887?
Conrad Hilton.
It was Conrad Hilton. Mm-hmm. There are Hilton hotels all over the world.
That's right.
And what was the first gift my true love sent on the sixth day of Christmas?
The first gift on the sixth day?
Well, just make it on the sixth day of Christmas. Yeah. He sent...
Six geese a-laying.
Yeah, you don't lay an egg on that. In what city did Miracle on 34th Street take place?
New York.
That's right.
NYC, NYC, yes.
And who were the two male co-stars in Holiday Inn?
First of all, Fred Astaire,
exactly.
And Bing wasn't in
it
that.
What one reindeer is never, ever mentioned in The Night Before Christmas?
That would be Rudolph.
It would be.
That's right.
He was rejected again.
He's dissed in that.
I mean, how terrible. You know, he made fun of by his nose and not even mentioned by name.
That nonconformity.
Well, yes. We need to have pity on him. Great compassion. And that's why he probably will call in on Hope in the Night.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221. As believers, we celebrate the arrival of the baby Jesus this time of year. In your lifetime, there are two important questions about Jesus that you must answer. Do you believe he is God? And what will you do with him? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." We have, as a special offer to our listeners today, a book that June Hunt has written titled, "Jesus, Is He God?" We want you to have this book for just $5. In fact, if you're brand new to our ministry, we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you are new to our ministry, we'll provide the book to you with a simple toll-free phone call, 800-488-HOPE. If you're calling to purchase the book, you might consider bypassing our busy phone lines with a visit to our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673, or hopefortheheart.org.
We are back on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. And again, reminding you that any night you want to go on the air, it's 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT. 17. No topic of the night. Anything at all you want to talk about, we tell you to come on in. And lines are open there for you right now, as a matter of fact. 1-800-NIGHT-17. Ordering any of June's music, by the way, buy 4 CDs, get one free. Buy 4, get one free. You can mix and match those. Check those out tonight, and I hope you will. Again, that's at 1-800-488-4673. Well, we're going to head to the phone lines tonight. We love listening into people's lives and seeing what God's going to do. And first, you know, the phones, let's say hi to Alan.
Hello, Alan. Welcome to Hope.
Hey, June, how are you?
I'm blessed. How can we help you?
Okay, well, my question for tonight is, I came from a Christian family. That's how I was born, you know. You know, I ended up just going through the motions, you know, to go, just to go, because my parents would drag me.
Mm-hmm.
Then about 2 years ago, I finally accepted the Lord. And I walked with him for about, let's say, 4 months, and then I departed, you know. It's not like I renounced my faith or I said that I was going to apostate or anything like that. I just ended up, you know, going back into the world. You know, I was with my girlfriend. We moved in. A baby was born out of all that. And then now 9-10 months have passed by. And then I was just wondering if I could come back to the Lord, because I ended up stumbling upon some verses that, you know, that make it seem like if I can't come back.
Oh.
And
are those verses in Hebrews?
Yes. I'm sure. I think there's about like 2 in Hebrews that have been, you know, making me think like, oh, I can't come back.
And what I would like to know, first of all, when you said you came to the Lord, well, you said you accepted the Lord, you know, about 2 years ago, you seemed to be a follower of Christ for 4 months, and then after 4 months, you basically went back into the world, you said, and then there have been consequences and evidences of not walking with the Lord. So help me understand, what does it mean, I accepted the Lord? What does that actually mean? I understand, you said you came from a Christian family, but it was just more the ritual. It's more the, this is what they did, and you did what they did, but it wasn't personal for you. So help me understand now. What are you telling me that happened approximately 2 years ago?
Well, you know, to be very, very honest, and it might sound funny, but of course, I mean, I don't think it's funny. For some reason, I thought that the rapture happened. So then you could say that I was afraid.
Okay.
And I ended up going to the church that my mom was going to at the time, which was like right around the corner from our home. And that's how I accepted the Lord.
Okay.
Or, you know, I just said, yeah, I mean, to me, now I know that when people say that they're going to accept the Lord, it's because, you know, they've had the gospel preached to them, and they say, okay, well, my will is going to be aligned with God's will. Therefore, I repent of my old ways, and I want to follow Christ. So when I accepted the Lord at my mom's church, they didn't preach the gospel to me or anything. They just made a call. I went up to the altar. I accepted him. And then I ended up going to a church, an English church. And as I was going, they ended up giving me a book from Greg Laurie, which is like a start Bible. So I was reading that. And then I guess I kind of got the hang of it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
but as I was walking, I guess you could say I started getting some doubts. And because of those doubts is why I went astray,
You could say. Well, I'm going to, by the way, I will answer your question about those passages in Hebrews, but I think it's important I'm listening very closely, very deliberately to your wording, because at one time, if you had asked me, June, are you a Christian? I would have said, yes. In fact, I was asked, June, are you a Christian? I said, yes. The way I have said it to a few people is I was no more Christian than a baboon, but I didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian. I did believe in Jesus as a little bit more than the Savior. I mean, more than a historical figure is what I meant to say. I believed that he died on the cross for the sins of the world, but I had no relationship with him. I had no concept of humbling your heart and actually receiving him as your Lord and Savior, giving him control of your life. Now, when you said, when I asked you further about this, you said, well, to be honest, you thought that the rapture had occurred, and so basically out of fear, you walked down the aisle. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I will say that some people have sincerely assumed they are Christians because they did walk down an aisle, because they didn't want to go to hell, and so they wanted fire insurance. Do you get my drift?
Yes.
I was talking with a man one time, I never will forget it. It was an unusual set of circumstances. Perhaps I remember it because I was actually in Hawaii, not to sightsee or anything like that, but I was asked to speak there years ago. And I had spoken during the day, and this husband and wife took me out to dinner. And I already knew he was not a Christian based on what the wife had said, and she had a real burden for her husband. And so when we were together at this beautiful high-rise building that overlooked, I think that it was the scene that was just gorgeous, and so it was at dusk, and I remember this very lovely woman who was the head of a Christian women's club. She excused herself to use the facilities, and so all of a sudden he lunged forward and said, "I'm a Christian, aren't I? I prayed to receive Jesus. So I'm a Christian, aren't I?" And it was so he was so intent. He wanted assurance of his salvation. And I said, and by the way, this man owned 5 companies. So I knew he was an intelligent man, just based on how he was a businessman and conducted himself. And I looked at him, and I said, well, just because a person prays to ask for salvation, to be candid, what thinking non-believer would not want free fire insurance? And I remember him looking at me, and then he leaned back in this large barrel kind of a chair, and he just started laughing. He said, "You're right." He said, "I just want free fire insurance." He said, "I never thought about it that way." And so he said, I thought if I just prayed to ask Jesus to be my Savior, then I would not go to hell. That's not the stuff of which salvation takes place. So maybe we just need to come back and hit a few basics. I hope that's okay with you.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our Care Center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
We are back on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with June Hunt. And again, thanks for joining us. The talk show line open at 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT-17. You can join us. We'll make up a name. We'll call you back to put you on the air. We'd like to step into June Hunt's virtual counseling office, whatever that might be for you. People often will think they have to kind of follow suit with the caller who's on before. You don't have to. Anything at all. If you say, June, I need some life coaching or biblical counseling around this issue, let us know what it is, and then call us 1-800-NIGHT-17. Well, the light of Alan's call tonight, we have materials here dealing with the topic of salvation. What does it mean to be a Christian? Also, the materials on assurance of salvation. People often will doubt that they are Christians. They may feel like at one time, I think I put my trust in Christ or made a decision or walked an aisle, but I'm not sure. Two different topics, salvation and then the assurance of salvation material you can call to order tonight. And that's at 1-800-488-4673. Well, let's get back to the phones, June, and we continue here with your conversation with Alan.
Well, Alan, I so appreciate your question because what you're asking about is not a minor issue. You're dealing with something that's absolutely fundamental for your life and especially for your destiny. Because the truth is, after any of us die, we're going to spend eternity someplace, either with God or without God. And this is no secondary matter. This is huge. So you admitted, you know, that you, while you came from a Christian family, you, like many people, it was just kind of rote. You just did what they did. Then you mentioned 2 years ago, something happened. You said you thought the rapture happened. Would you explain why you thought that? And you said you thought the rapture happened, and so you accepted the Lord out of fear. What made you think the rapture had occurred?
You know, to tell you the truth, like, looking back at it, I don't remember. Like, I was, yeah, like, I can't even tell you, because I don't remember. But, I mean, that's the reason why I had accepted him, out of fear, you know?
Mm-hmm. By the way, how old are you, Alan?
Well, now I'm 23.
Okay. Okay, so right now you're 23. So this happened when you were about 21. And what you're describing, by the way, the rapture is an event. That word is not actually in the Bible, but there are references in the Bible where something very rapturous occurs, and it deals with the end times. And so the people who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior are taken to be with the Lord in heaven, and there are others then who are left, and there's still a long period of time of certain events that will take place, like the millennial reign of Christ, and there's a 7-year period that's going to be very, very trying on all people here on earth. And so it just deals with what is presented in the Bible, a chronology regarding the events to come. But you're saying you thought the rapture had occurred. You don't know why you thought that, but basically out of fear, you went forward. You know, I think the issue that I would be wanting you to reflect on is, what does it really mean to become an authentic Christian? And as I speak about this, I don't want you responding out of fear. I don't like that motivation for anyone. And there are a lot of people who walked down an aisle or raised a hand or signed a card. They did something to indicate that they had made a decision. And yet the decision was, I just don't want to go to hell. It wasn't to actually receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to put your total trust in Him as Lord and Savior. And so I rarely talk about hell because that's not the issue. Would you allow me to explain what is God's game plan regarding our existence? And it would be God's game plan for all of us whom He created. Is that all right for me to present that to you?
Yes.
Okay. This is just for clarity. First of all, God is the creator of everything. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then clearly we see that He created all living matter, all humanity. And when He did so, He created us with a plan and a purpose. He didn't, though, create us like robots. You're not a robot. You have the ability to choose wrong as well as right. Correct?
Correct.
Everyone has that ability. So He gave us all free will. Now, He did create, it's clear, He has created heaven where we would live with Him. There would be people who would inhabit heaven with Him. And I can't tell you all that's going to take place. Not a lot is described there. But I don't like the alternative. And you don't either. But the point is, what God has said is this, that our sins separate us from God. Our sins separate us from Him. Well, we're in a bad way if that is the case, because He also says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has gone to his own way. So if we've all gone astray, if we've all sinned, and our sins separate us from God, that's not good news. So why would He create heaven knowing we would all sin and that our sins would separate us from Him? This is the why of Jesus. Jesus, who is God, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son did not want us separated from God Almighty. And so He chose, out of care, compassion, out of love, He chose to leave a perfect existence in heaven, to come to earth, knowing what He would incur, knowing what atrocities He would have to experience. He chose to come to earth. He lived a perfect life, and upon His death, He chose to go to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins. He wasn't a victim. Like, oh, poor Jesus, He was all victimized. He knew what was happening. He knew what would take place. He knew His blood would be shed on the cross. It was prophesied multiple ways what would happen to Him in the Old Testament. All this was prophesied. And indeed, when He was crucified on the cross, His death purchased the opportunity for us to experience life. I'm talking about eternal life with Him in heaven. Because here's the key. Here's the most important part. If you and I would, as an act of our will, choose to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, giving Him control of our lives, then He would literally forgive the guilt of our sin. We would be forgiven for every sin, past, present, and future. So His plan, knowing that all of us would sin and that our sins would separate us from God, it was to give us the opportunity to come into a life-changing relationship with the Lord Himself. And the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, when you receive Him as Lord. Now, let me make a comment about the word Lord. Lord is not a title. I mean, there are people who have a title. They're lords and ladies in England, for example. This is not a title we're talking about. The word Lord means master, ruler, owner. It's giving Him ownership of our lives. It is giving Him control. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe, the word believe there means to rely upon, to trust in. It's not believe as in just, oh, I believe that Jesus was a good person and a great teacher, and that He was the one who was crucified. Well, he was a good moral teacher, yes, and he did die on the cross. But the issue is to believe, as the Greek word pisteuo means to rely upon, to entrust your life, to trust in him. And then when you literally trust him with your life, he then has the ability to guide us in the way we should go. He knows everything anyway, so he knows what will work for us in our lives, and he knows what will not work. And you've tried it on your own, and you know what it's like to then reap repercussions that you would think twice about today. But the point is to accept Jesus, to accept the Lord, means you receive him and he then becomes your God.
The internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. The Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our care sitter phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
We are back on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. In light of Alan's call, we've talked about materials on salvation, including the materials on assurance of salvation. Those are two different topics as it stands now. You can call to find out ordering information on these and settle that issue. Maybe you don't even know what it means to be a Christian. The materials on salvation will help you with that. And you can also call and talk to the Hope Care representatives. They'll tell you and help guide you into what it means to be a Christian. If you'd like to find out about that, talk to them tonight at 800-488-4673. Remember, too, that if you'd like to go on the air with June Hunt, just to step into her virtual counseling office to talk with her about what's going on in your life, call it life coaching, mentoring, good counseling. We're going to make up a name. We're going to call you back. Get in line right now with your question, anything at all you want to ask June, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Right now, though, back to the phone lines. June, and your conversation here with Alan.
Well, Alan, as I sought to explain what I call the game plan of God, first of all, was it clear what you heard, what I was saying? Was it clear to you, or Was it confusing?
No, it was pretty straightforward.
Okay. And is there anything, as you think about your own life, do you believe that you were receiving, because the Bible says receive, as many as received him, that's talking about Christ as Lord and Savior, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So it's receiving him, giving him authority over your life, giving him control of your life. That's what the word Lord means. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So, do you believe you did that, or did you instead, do you think at that time that it was just an issue of wanting him as Savior, but not really allowing him to be Lord? Because I personally believe that the way he becomes our Savior is when we make him Lord. What do you think?
I think that I was just, you know, reading the Bible, you know, trying to gain knowledge, trying to learn, trying to apply that to my life. But at that point, I didn't know as much as I know now, you could say.
Well, let me let you factor in one scripture, because when you first started speaking, I thought of 1 John 2:19. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm trying to reflect back what you're telling me and let the Lord also convict you or convince you as to what it is that is your greatest need. In 1 John 2:19, it says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So, there are times when people can be drawn. Some people are drawn to the music. Some people are drawn to a fellowship of believers. They like the people. Some people are drawn because there is a type of structure that they find comfort in a ritual. Certain churches are very are more geared toward ritual, and there's a sense of security and safety that some people feel when they experience that. But that still isn't receiving the Lord as Lord of your life. So what this is saying is, you know, it's like there are those who come and they're a part of the church fellowship. They're a part of others who are true Christians. But then they went out from us. I'm repeating the scripture again. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So that was actually the first scripture that I thought of when you began to speak. But I'm not saying that applies to you. I'm going to ask you, do you think that at that time would reflect what you experienced?
Maybe. I can't. I mean, as for me, you know, even though when I accepted the Lord, no one preached the gospel to me at the moment. What I did when I accepted Christ, but I already had an idea of what I was doing. But at the same time, I guess you could say, I wasn't really, like, not everything was really clear to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say that there was so much I did not know when I became a Christian. I don't think it requires that you have to understand terminology and in-depth theology or anything like that. What it does require, though, is a personal yielding yourself to Him. It's a yielding of your will to His will. It's not joining the church. Meaning, it's not church membership.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to church. I remember thinking one time I snuck, we had a dog named Bambi. I know it sounds like a deer, but it was really a dog. And I had this kind of a basket kind of purse at the time. And so Bambi went to church. It was totally... totally docile. I was just wonderful through the whole service and everything. No incident whatsoever. Well, just because you go to church, that doesn't make you a Christian, just like Bambi wasn't a Christian. Just because you walk inside a stable, that doesn't make you a horse or a cow. It's not location. It's submission. It's yielding our will to His will. And so, and it's not, and it's receiving Him as Lord and Savior. It's not, I just don't want something bad to happen to me. But you know, I'm going to say this right now. Regardless of what the situation was, whether you were authentically saved or not, regardless of if you were an authentic Christian then or not, the issue to me, and I must compliment you on this, you are saying, I care that I be right with God. I want to do now. Am I hearing that? That you do want to be right with God, and you're saying I want to deal with whatever I can deal with. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I just want to follow Him the right way, pick up my cross daily, just do whatever it is that I have to do in order to just be right with God.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what God cares about. And He can make whatever the past was clear to you. I think that's where we need to spend our time, and I don't want to short the question that you were asking about, because there is a passage of Scripture that obviously you have read in Hebrews 6, and so we're going to deal with that a little bit later, but help me understand this. I know you said after 4 months, then you went back into the world, and there was basically, tell me what was going on at that point. What was your thinking? What drew you away? Help me understand what about you at that point.
When I was reading, you know, the Start Bible and everything, I was, like I said, I was reading the Bible, trying to apply it to my life. And then all of a sudden, like, I just started having doubts. I don't even know why. Well, I guess no one really knows why. But I just started having doubts. I had questions and stuff like that. So then I guess that kind of, like, led me to, like, I didn't say, okay, I don't want to follow Christ anymore. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. I didn't say that. I just kind of, like, slowly started praying less. I started reading the Bible less. And then I went back to drinking with my friends, smoking pot, going out, you know, the usual, mm-hmm. like going to clubs and stuff like that. Me and my girlfriend ended up moving in, and, you know, we were obviously having premarital sex, and we had a baby. So just stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, just basically going back to what I used to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, why... What made you stop and think and question that lifestyle? Why not continue on with that lifestyle?
I just felt like something was missing, I guess you could say. I didn't feel happy, you know. I'd go out with my friends. As soon as I got home and hit the hay, I already felt empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like something was missing. And then in the beginning, when I just barely started going back into the world, I guess you could say I did have conviction of what I was doing, you know. More than halfway out, but it was about a 9 or 10 month span that I was out, you know, into the world doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But around 8 months or so, I ended up getting a new car. And I was really coveting that car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving it and seeing when I was just trying to find any excuse I could to just go ahead and just go off for a spin, you know. And then one day, I'm going on my way to work. I'm at a stoplight, just totally stopped, and this dude just, boom, he just hits me. Like, he just rear-ends me.
Mm.
And I guess you could say I took that as kind of like God telling me, hey, you know, like, your car, like, that's nothing. Like, you know, look for me.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, obviously, God has your attention, and the Bible says, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring you back, there is a solution.
Want to share tonight's program with a friend? Find these resources and more available at hopefortheheart.org or from our order line 1-800-488-HOPE.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
Hour number two of Hope in the Night Radio getting underway. I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. And again, if you'd like to call to go on the air tonight, 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Phone lines are open there for you right now. And if you'd like also to contact us here tonight and check out ordering information on any of our materials, including the materials on salvation, assurance of salvation, and that is an issue that for a lot of people, you say, well, I thought I was a Christian, but I've had a lot of doubts around that. Both those topics, again, salvation and assurance of salvation, you can call tonight to order at 1-800-488-HOPE. You want to settle that issue, I can tell you that, your eternal destiny. 1-800-488-4673. June, we'll get back to the phones and your conversation here with Alan.
Well, Alan, I would definitely view you as a seeker. A seeker, I mean that in the most positive, the most positive way I can. There are people who do not seek truth. They don't seek priority. They just live with status quo. You know, don't. Basically, they don't major on the majors. They just kind of major on the minors and try to slide through life. And I'm hearing that you're really wanting answers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you're wanting answers about your own spiritual life. You're trying to make sense of it. Why do you want to make sense of it?
I just want to be right with the Lord, you know. I just want to be right with Him and follow Him, and you know, and because I know, I understand that I have a need for Him. At the end of the day, you know, I have a friend, he lives in my building, and you know, he's actually Christian, and he's been talking to me this whole time and telling me, you know, giving me advice and all that. And like he tells me, he says, you know, out in the world, like, what's out there for you? You know, like, what are you going to do out there? Like, what's out there for you? And all I can say is, you know, nothing. There's nothing out there that can fill me. There's nothing out there that will make me happy or satisfy me.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you see an example of somebody who has something that you respect. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And you want what he has?
Yes, definitely.
That was the way it was for me. I saw some people who had something that I wanted. I didn't recognize that it was actually a relationship with Christ. I missed that. But I did want what they had because I could see a huge difference. So I understand that. And the Bible even talks about how those who are true Christians are to shine like a light. It'd be like a light on a hill. He said, let your light so shine. Well, that's what your friend is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously cares enough about you to spend time trying to explain what he has learned himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real friend. Now, you know, we were talking about this word Lord, because you said something about 2 years ago, accepted the Lord. Let me read a scripture to you. It's Matthew 7. Matthew 7, this is Jesus speaking in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? It's pretty impressive. Verse 23, then, this is Jesus speaking, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What this is saying is, these people would use the word Lord like a title. He said, you call me Lord, but you're not allowing me to be your Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So people can talk the language and they can be sincere. I'm talking about sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm gathering that you don't want to be sincere and sincerely wrong, right?
Right.
Okay. So we've got something to work with here. Because you've seen through the testimony of a friend who cares about you that he does have what you want. Well, what he has is a life-changing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's apparently what you're wanting, because it says, you call me Lord, but it says, only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. So that means a change of gods, a change of lords. In other words, he wants to be Lord of your life. We'll come back and explain how.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221. As believers, we celebrate the arrival of the baby Jesus this time of year. In your lifetime, there are two important questions about Jesus that you must answer. Do you believe he is God? And what will you do with him? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. We have as a special offer to our listeners today a book that June Hunt has written titled, Jesus, Is He God? We want you to have this book for just $5. In fact, if you're brand new to our ministry, we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you are new to our ministry, we'll provide the book to you with a simple toll-free phone call, 800-488-HOPE. If you're calling to purchase the book, you might consider bypassing our busy phone lines with a visit to our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673, or hopefortheheart.org.
We are back now on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Thanks for letting us be part of your life. And again, any night you want to go in the air, it's 1-800-NIGHT-17 to talk with June Hunt. The Hope Line open at 800-488-HOPE, where tonight, in light of Alan's call, we've referenced two very important topics here, materials on salvation to know where your eternal destiny lies. If you were to die tonight and stand before God, and he were to ask you, why should he let you into his heaven, what would you say? I'll get that material on salvation to settle that issue. And, of course, the materials of assurance of salvation if you're doubting your salvation. Tonight, you can talk to the Hope Care representatives about these resources at 1-800-488-4673. We will drive back to the phones here, June, your conversation with Alan.
Well, Alan, I have detected that you are a seeker. It's like you're wanting... You know something's missing, and you want whatever's missing to be put into your life so that you will be fulfilled. Now, is that the bottom line?
Yeah, I think I'd say so. Yeah.
Okay. You talked about, well, you came from a Christian family, but you were just kind of going along with the motions. 2 years ago, you said you accepted the Lord, but after 4 months, you had these doubts, questions, and you went back to the world. You said, you know, marijuana, drinking, premarital sex, you had a baby out of wedlock. You knew something was missing. You coveted this car. Meanwhile, it gets wrecked from behind. Sounds like you may think that God is trying to get your attention. And yet when you said you accepted the Lord, it was really more like out of fear. You somehow thought the rapture occurred, and you don't even know why you thought that, but then you just responded out of fear. But what we were trying to do is to discern, did you actually receive the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior? Because it's not just accepting a concept. It's not a Christian creed. It's Christ himself, allowing him to be your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. So I think you're having doubts about what this experience was 2 years ago. Is anything any clearer right now? Are you feeling that you, I know you're saying you know something was missing, and it has not yet been found, but are you believing that you would like to have the security of knowing that you have a relationship with Christ that cannot be taken away from you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, may I, it might be helpful, since you brought up the issue of Hebrews 6, you said there were some words that sounds like it might be impossible for you to, actually, it's like, well, did I lose my opportunity? Can I not now truly come to Christ in fullness? Those are some of my words, not your exact words. But I, since you brought this up, let's address this and then see where we land. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. I believe what you're referring to is a passage beginning in verse 4 of Hebrews 6. By the way, many people have major questions about this passage. It says, it is impossible, notice the word impossible, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Very unusual words. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. So how do we interpret what this means? Now, let me just say, there are theologians who take different positions on this verse. I believe the key to interpreting this passage correctly is found in accurately determining who is being addressed. Who is being addressed here, and what exactly is the spiritual status of that person or those persons? So, I'm going to present three positions. In other words, let's look at three interpretations of this passage. The first would be, some would say this passage refers to those who were never saved. They professed Christ, but never possessed Christ. Consequently, they were not authentic Christians. Now, the problem with this interpretation is, if they're not saved, from what are they falling away? Number two, how could they be brought back to repentance if they had never repented in the first place? And number three, this passage clearly refers to those who had repented and were, the scripture says, were partakers of the Holy Spirit. Thus, they were indeed saved. Because when you humble your heart and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, according to Ephesians 1:13 and 14, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And then he guarantees your inheritance. He guarantees that you will be with him face to face. So, it would seem unlikely that this could be referring to those who were not saved. Number two, position number two would be those who say that this refers to those who were saved but who have, quote, fallen from grace or fallen away. I mean, the scripture uses that phrase, fallen away. So, well, it's like they have fallen from grace and therefore they lose their salvation. They've lost their salvation. Now, this is position number two. The problem with this interpretation is that this would mean that a backslider, someone who chooses to sin, would lose his or her salvation and never, ever be able to regain it again. And that's what you said, by the way, when you first called.
Mm-hmm.
You were concerned. Because you said, yeah, that sounds like you can't ever come back. Now, it's very difficult to find anyone who believes that every single backslider has to lose their salvation forever. They can never, ever, ever return. I've never met anybody who actually says, if a person backslides, that's it. They've blown it. They can never, ever, ever come back. Now, again, if you read it that way, notice it's saying it is impossible if they fall away to be brought back to repentance. So it could sound like that could be the situation. But let's consider position number three, that this passage refers to those who are eternally saved. Therefore, it is impossible for them to fall away from salvation. Notice what the scripture says. It starts out saying, it is impossible. I mean, that's what the scripture says. It is impossible for those who once have been enlightened, and then you see all these things that they've experienced. It says, it's impossible. Literally, it's impossible for this scenario for them to fall away from salvation. Why? They can't repent again for salvation because they've already repented once for salvation. While we should all repent of any sins that we've committed as Christians, the Bible says that we have received eternal redemption. at our initial conversion. Eternal redemption means eternal salvation. In other words, if we truly repent before God and commit our lives to Christ, we receive eternal salvation at our initial conversion. Hebrews 9:12 says, Jesus, he entered the most holy place once for all of our sins, by his atoning blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So, I believe this passage presents a truly impossible scenario. It is impossible to repent of our sins more than once in order to receive salvation. Just as it is impossible to crucify Jesus for our sins more than once. And it says, you know, that that's also an impossible situation. It says, because we would be crucifying the Son of God all over again. And you can't do that again. It's already taken place. That means it is unnecessary, because the one horrific sacrifice that Jesus paid with his life paid for all of our sins once for all, it says in Hebrews 10:10. Therefore, those who have genuine salvation, their one-time repentance for salvation secured their eternal salvation, and such a salvation cannot be lost. Romans 8:1 says, well, I'll mention that when we return, because I think it's tremendous.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
Yeah, we are back on Hope of the Night Radio, and we are so glad to be coming your way through this medium of Christian radio. God's truth for today's problems. And again, if you'd like to contact us here tonight, we invite you to do that. You can find out ordering information tonight. Again, our materials on salvation. Also on assurance of salvation. Making sure that you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. A lot of people doubt their salvation. They say, may have walked an aisle at one point or prayed a prayer. It'd be like him, June, is a good, wise mentor alongside of you, a godly counselor. Get these two different topics tonight, the materials on salvation and assurance of salvation. You can order at 1-800-488-4673. For us, the back to the phones, and June, your conversation here with Alan.
Well, Alan, as we've talked about the passage you were wondering about, meaning if a person falls away, you said it sounds like you can't ever come back. You heard me describe three positions. Position one is trying to say that some people think that it's about a person who never was saved. The second was a person who was saved, but then they lose their salvation. And the third was saying, no, once you're saved, it's impossible for you to fall away from salvation. And so, because we have received, it's like when a person receives Jesus, what does the Bible say? Do you receive eternal life? Well, do you have any idea of what you think about that? If a person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, does a person receive eternal life?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me it would just mean what that means to them, because I've stumbled upon many, articles, because when I came back, or when I decided that I wanted to come back to the Lord, I've been on this whole, I've had a lot of anxiety, I've been really afraid, I've even fell into depression. Just out of the fact, I've just been trying to find out, if I can come back or not. So I've stumbled upon a lot of articles, and they've came up with the conclusion that just because someone prays the sinner's prayer or says that they want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean that they're actually saved.
Yeah, because somebody, I've talked with many people who did pray a prayer, but it wasn't a prayer that constituted salvation, because they may have been saying the words because of a friend. Maybe a friend goes down and a friend does this, and so they say the same words. What you have is two people can pray the identical words. One person's saved, the other's not. What makes the difference? It's the attitude of the heart. Is that heart yielded to the Lord to the extent of, I repent? In other words, repent means I'm headed one direction on a one-way street. We'll say it's the wrong way. But then I turn. Repent means I turn. I change. I'm willing to go God's way. So it's receiving Him as Lord and Savior. So, right now, where do you see yourself? Do you believe that you have not yet truly received the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior? But that's something you want to do?
110% what I want to do.
Okay.
But as far as my past and everything, obviously I haven't been living how someone who's Christian should be living, And like I said, before, when I accepted Christ, it was out of fear. It's like I've been pondering on this, for about these last 2 months, how, usually when people come to be saved, it's through, they have the gospel preached to them, they feel conviction of their sins, and therefore they give their lives to Christ. And then I think back to the way I did it, and I know that I just, right off the bat, I know that it's not right, you know, because I did it out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, see, know, I respect that in you. I mean, that really does impress me, because first of all, you're serious about wanting to do what God wants you to do. You're wanting to be right with God. Well, look, most people aren't there. They're just off doing their thing, and sometimes, or they can get jaded. They could be just caught up in other stuff. And that's why I said earlier that I'm very impressed, because you really want to major on the majors. Now, of interest, there's a little book in the Bible called 1 John. It's written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of John. 1 John is actually a short letter. It's only got 5 chapters. It's short, not like the Gospel of John, which is much, much longer and highly substantial. 1 John, the point of 1 John, I think, is going to fit right in with you, because it tells you what the theme of 1 John is. By the way, there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. In other words, there are 3 letters. And this first epistle written by the Apostle John, he tells what the point, that what the theme of this letter is. He says, it says in 1 John 5:13, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life. Bottom line, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. So the whole point is, he's writing these 5 little chapters so that you can know you have eternal life, or if you don't. One time I had a Bible study. It was singles. It was, we had about 60, 80, sometimes 100 that would come. And this man started coming. He had been in the Navy. And after a while, we were at a point where I said, I'd like for everyone to actually write down their testimony of how they came to Christ. Well, when I read his, I asked him if I could talk with him privately. Because he said, he was actually a PK, a preacher's kid. Then he said he went into the Navy, lived like the devil, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not hearing that there ever really was salvation, regardless of him being the son of a pastor. And so as I began to talk, well, actually, what I did is this. I began with, I said, I just want to read to you some passages. And that's, by the way, not my norm, but I mean, I really did start this way. I said, I read what you wrote, and I would like to talk with you about your testimony. The Bible says in 1 John, it repeats the word know, K-N-O-W. We know this. We know this. You know. You see the word know repeated again and again and again. And again, I'm going to repeat to you the point of this book was written. He says, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life. So here you see that word know again. Okay. We know we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him, meaning in Christ, must walk as Jesus did. So how did Jesus walk? He walked dependently on the Father. Next verse. Let's see, 1 John 2:29. If you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. That's 1 John 2:29. 1 John 3:6. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And then it says in 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. By the way, at this point, now I had a number of other passages in the book of 1 John. This man stopped me. He said, stop, wait a minute. He said, that means I'm not a Christian. I get it. I haven't been a Christian. Then is when I said, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. But I didn't want to tell you that. I wanted you to listen to what the Bible says. He said, no, I was the son of a pastor. But as soon as I got out of the home, and I said, you lived like the devil. That's what you said. He said, exactly. He said, I've just come to this church a few months ago, and I see people who have something that I want. And then immediately he recognized he wasn't an authentic Christian. So, how does that strike you as I share that? What do you think?
I mean, if you want me to reflect on what you just said and those passages, then I guess that would mean that I'm not an authentic Christian, right?
Only what is God telling you? The main thing, though, is, as I tried to say earlier, what God wants for you is now. If you are willing to enter into that life-changing relationship with him, he has open arms for you. And the past stays in the past. It's the present now.
The internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. The Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our care center phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
It's our final segment of Hope of the Night Radio tonight. I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. Quickly again, the materials we've mentioned in light of Alan's call tonight on salvation. God's plan of salvation is outlined in the Bible, and the materials on assurance of salvation that you can call to order tonight. You do that tonight at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. I hope that you'll continue to listen in this conversation and make sure you settle that issue tonight of your own salvation issue. If you died, where to stand before God? Would you go to heaven? You have more questions about that, call. Talk to our Hope Care representatives tonight at 800-488-4673. And I wish all of you the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. I hope you can experience that for yourself. We're going to get right back to this conversation, June, with you and with Alan.
Well, Alan, I am very grateful to God for you taking seriously what determines your eternal destination.
Really sorry to cut you off. Yes. You sound really dull. I can't hear you at all.
Okay. Well, someone will help that. Thank you for saying that. Is that better, whatever they've done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When I hear you, I hear that you are absolutely certain that you want whatever's been missing to no longer be missing. And the way I am hearing this is that you want the security of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want what He has for you because you've tried it your way and it doesn't work. Is that wrong or right?
It's right.
Okay. I remember when I went to someone and I said, I think I'm a Christian. How do I know? This wise woman said, I can't know your heart as God does. But June, if you're not a Christian, would you be willing to do whatever God would want you to do? I didn't answer immediately. I thought, what does that mean? What God would want me to do? I'm a very analytical person. My mind works logically. I kind of have a math mind. I like things to make sense. I like equations. But, you know, I happen to realize much later that this woman did know that I was not a Christian. I just assumed I was a Christian just kind of, I don't know, because I wasn't Jewish. You know, it was kind of like, well, what else am I? But the point is, that question, would I be willing to do whatever God would want me to do? All I knew was there were people, a number of people that I had come into a relationship, a friendship with, and they had authentic Christianity. I didn't. I saw the difference. And they had told me that there's a vast difference between having a religion versus a relationship with God. They said, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with God through Christ. And I remember thinking, but no, it's a religion. But I was not wise. I didn't understand. Yet, based on the testimony of people like your friend who lives in your building, who's been talking with you, it's like you recognize he has that something that's missing in your life. Is that part of what you would say in your life?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the same for me. And I watched. I didn't just respond immediately. I kept watching them. I wanted to see if it was consistent. Have you been watching this guy?
Yeah.
Is it consistent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's not a young guy. He's like around 40, like in his early 40s, you know? Yeah, but, I mean, I can tell, like, you know, he's just, like he knows, like, what he knows, and he has a relationship with God, and, you know, even when I did end up straying away, like, you know, he would tell me things here and there, and, you know, and try to get me to come back to the Lord, you know, or to God.
Yeah. So he cared enough about you, a younger guy, someone much younger, and yet he so wants you to have his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in reality, not just in concept, not just mentally, but for you, because realize the Bible says it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's not just learning, it's not just reading the Bible, though that is highly valuable, and you have been reading the Bible. You've read passages. Some passages are, we could say, confusing. You mentioned that you began to have doubts and questions. This is earlier on. Did you talk to someone wise about your doubts and your questions?
You know, looking back at it, I don't think I did.
You know, it's so interesting. I have a niece who went to an Ivy League college, and she took a religion course, and she said that the professor first asked, how many of you believe in the Bible literally? And there were some hands that went up. And he said, by the end of this time, none of you will believe. None of you.
Wow.
And she didn't tell me about this, but and she said at the end, he said, how many of you now believe literally in the Bible? And she said, nobody raised their hands. And she said, Aunt June, I wanted to raise my hand, but I couldn't. I said, well, why didn't you talk with me? What was mentioned? He said, well, like the two entirely different accounts of salvation. I'm sorry, of creation. The two different accounts of salvation, of creation. I said, are you talking about Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? Yes. I said, well, that's simple. One is a overview. God created this. He created that. You know, just put stars in space and the world in place and the animals, you know, and there's a progression. And the other is the creation of Adam and Eve. And one is macro, the other is micro. And she went, oh, well, that's simple. I said, yes. I remember somebody, had a professor who said, it's no big deal. The Moses and the Exodus, that they didn't cross the Red Sea. That's a typo. It was the Reed Sea. He didn't say typo, which is, he said it's a misunderstanding. It's the Reed Sea. The Reed Sea only had 2 inches of water. So you had, if you will, a couple million people crossing the Reed Sea in just 2 inches of water. That's no miracle. I remember going to my Bible teacher, and I told her, I said, well, Mr. Germany said blah, 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 blah. And she said, that would be an even greater miracle, that the pursuing entire Egyptian army drowned in just 2 inches of water. I went, oh. But that's the advantage of talking with people. Now, what God wants to do is to talk to you. And he is standing with open arms. He wants you to come to him, to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Bottom line, are you willing to do that now? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just tell him what you've just told me. Just pray after me. God, I need you in my life.
God, I need you in my life.
I want a secure relationship with you.
I want a secure relationship with you.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for not giving up on me.
Thank you for not giving up on me.
Jesus, right now.
Jesus, right now.
I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I'm asking you to come into my life.
I'm asking you to come into my life.
To take control of my life.
And take control of my life.
I give you my mind.
I give you my mind.
I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
Thank you for what you will do in me.
Thank you for what you will do in me.
To me and through me.
To me and through me.
In your holy name I pray.
In your holy name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, where is Jesus right now in relation to you?
In my life?
That's right. You prayed and asked him to come into your heart, to come into your life. And one of my favorite passages, in fact, the first passage of Scripture that ever meant anything to me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Well, that's what he's there to do. You've entrusted your life to him, and he promises he will direct your path. He will direct your heart because now you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, and he will convict you. At times you're going to feel guilty, and it's good guilt to show that you need to move to a correction point. He'll put you on a correction course so that he'll lead you to have peace when it's right and a lack of peace when it's wrong. So how are you feeling right now?
I'd say I'm doing good.
Great. I hear that smile in your voice.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you've received God's answer for your life?
Yes.
Okay. This is the first of many, many steps. The old saying is, the longest journey begins with a single step. Well, we're going to help you with the steps. We're going to send you our material on the assurance of salvation, the plan of salvation. We're going to send you our salvation packet, and that includes seeing yourself through God's eyes. It was a pleasure talking with you. You continue to hang on to hope.